Sometimes people think that I'm really zealous, which I am. I know I'm zealous, and that's one thing that they always ask me in seminary. They're like, "You're so zealous. We just pray that you don't burn the church down when you become a priest." But I was also just doing what Bishop Ricken asked me to do, encourage and make this a daily prayer. But he said, for us as seminarians, like, gentlemen, pray for an increase of zeal for souls every single day. I heard that at my first Christmas event with Bishop as a first-year seminarian. I was like, pretty simple to do. I can do that. But then, like, I was so blessed in seminary. Like, I was formed by Bishop Barron, had Dr. Scott Hahn. You know, got to meet these amazing people. Mother Mary Catherine is you know, so good. And many priests have entered in. And one thing I loved is when we would just do Bible study and study the scriptures, especially the Gospel of John chapter 6. This is John 6 week again. If you haven't been paying attention, like, you're just missing out. Sorry, but it's just like the best stuff ever. What was funny thing is when I had Dr. Scott Hahn, who's one of the greatest theologians, greatest converts in the Catholic faith in the past 50 years, he said when he went to seminary and he's looking at his notes when he's like in the process of becoming Catholic, he looked at his notes on the Gospel of John. He said they skipped over John 6, which is just like, well, that's dumb, right? So it's like a dumb thing, because this is why anybody, again, is Catholic. And again, there's this, what's happening in here is Jesus is drawing our restless hearts into rest in him. Just to rest in the Lord in this, you know, pursuit of souls and this zeal for souls and to spend time with him. But again, a lot of us are like, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, we're not eunuchs, right? So if you know what a eunuch is, go look up on Google later. We're just driving around. We're probably doing the right things. We don't have people instructing us. And it's just so good when we have someone instructing us. We have to, like, really pay attention to this eunuch. So he's dang wealthy. This guy's got some money. And if you're carrying around scriptures, like, he's reading from the prophets, if you have that, like, you are crazy rich. He's got so much money, but what he doesn't have is formation. He's got so much money. He's got so much, but he's just reading the scriptures. He's trying to pick them up, and he has no one to instruct him. The more wealthy person is the person who can instruct, the person who has been instructed, the person who has been discipled, informed in the word. So now Philip comes alongside him, and he teaches him. He goes into his chariot, which, again, just say, like, this dude's rich. It's like, imagine someone just driving around in the, I don't know, Aston Martin or something like that, just crazy rich car, and invites you in. Is like, yeah, I don't understand this stuff. Would you teach me? But notice what moves Philip is what moves him is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves him to do something maybe he is a little bit uncomfortable with. He's like, I'm poor. I'm an apostle. I got no money. But there was this movement of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to understand, and his first desire is to be baptized. Is to become a part of the family. And again, as we said earlier this week, when you look at, if you have like six arrows pointing at one thing in the Catholic Church, it'd be all six sacraments pointing at the Eucharist. And Jesus, what he gives us is what makes us wealthy. It's what makes us rich as Catholics. Like, you receive more than you could ever imagine in the Holy Eucharist. Like, it's just something that always irks me as a priest is just the lack of reverence. Again, not our community. I'm not pointing fingers at you. But as a church, the way people receive the Eucharist, it's clear we don't understand what we're receiving. Like, we should, again, fall to our knees, if not on our faces, every time we come into the church, because we don't deserve to be here. But who are we with the God of the universe? And again, it's not saying, like, I'm unworthy, because we're all unworthy, but by God's grace, we're made worthy, right? We know that by his blood, we're made worthy. But, like, he invites us into his chariot, into his church, into come to know him. And he's giving us what is the most valuable thing he can give, which is himself. Like, if you can just imagine this, like, that's how I imagine things. Is like, when you come down and receive the Eucharist, like, you're receiving something that's more valuable than all the gold in the world, more valuable than all the diamonds in the world. And he just gives himself so nonchalantly, either to you on your tongue or on your hand. Which is why, like, I just notice more and more younger people are wanting to receive on their tongue, because I don't want anything of Jesus, which is the most valuable gift in the world, more valuable than all the gold, all the diamonds, all the silver in the world. I don't want that to fall on the floor, right? Because Jesus comes down to us. He comes down to our level. Isn't that just so amazing? He doesn't say, hey, like, come on, like, climb the ladder. He's like, no, I'm going to come down to you. I'm going to meet you in your unworthiness. I'm going to meet you in your lack of instruction. I'm going to meet you in your lack of zeal. And that's where it comes down to our gospel today as we enter into John 6. And I just can't wait till tomorrow. I'm a little bit more excited to preach about tomorrow because that's when Jesus really starts hammering home. But everyone, he's just saying, like, everyone who listens to my Father and learns from him comes to me. He says, amen, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. But he says, I am the bread of life. He says, your ancestors ate manna in the desert, but they died. And he says, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. You can imagine him pointing at himself almost. This is the bread of life that came down from heaven so that one may eat it and not die. And he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Like shortly after this, like the people who are following Jesus, who saw him do all the miracles, start grumbling. They're saying, this teaching is hard. And you're damn right it's hard. Like, how can you and I believe that this Jesus in the Holy Eucharist is more valuable than all the gold, all of the silver, all of the diamonds, all the money in the whole world? Like, how do we come to believe that? It's a hard teaching. And I encourage you to struggle with it, but don't be like Dr. Scott Hahn when he was in seminary and just skip over this. Like when he came to study the faith, he went to Marquette. My uncle, who I mentioned previously in homilies, who went to seminary, he went to seminary with him. He saw him have his conversion, and he was so on fire. And he knew the scriptures so well, and he thought that the church was so smart, but he thought that he was so smart, but he realized the church was smarter than him. And that's also a good sign of humility, is knowing that the church is smarter than you. Because what Scott Hahn was realizing as he's going to Mass at Marquette, and he's realizing that everything we do as Catholics in the Mass, it's all biblical. It's all straight out of Scripture. And he was noticing, wow, the first reading was fulfilled in the Gospel, and the Gospel pointed back to the first reading. The Church has thought about these things before, and the Church wants us to know that, again, all of us need instruction. We're never at a point where we don't. I still need instruction. Even Bishop Ricken needs instruction. Even the Pope needs instruction. He has a papal preacher. But what's needed is humility, and what's needed is the Holy Spirit. Like, notice how Philip, when he was instructed by the Holy Spirit, you know, encouraged, invited by the Holy Spirit to go into this chariot, where he probably felt way out of his league because he was poor and this Ethiopian eunuch is rich. Notice how he doesn't think about himself. Like, he's sold out. He's already surrendered everything. And he knew the Lord. And he prayed for the Holy Spirit. And he took that risk. And this one who thought he was rich, the eunuch who thought he was rich, now he becomes rich by being baptized. But I just wonder, like, what was it like when that eunuch went and spread the gospel with everyone he was with? He's the one who was believed to spread the gospel in Ethiopia, tradition tells us. But he was baptized. But again, all the arrows point at the Eucharist in our faith. And you're going to receive that, Jesus, in just a moment. One of the most frustrating things for me as a priest is when people come and receive Jesus like he's a Dorito or he's a potato chip. It's clear that they don't know. But where we have failed as priests, and I'll apologize to you on behalf of all priests, we have not instructed you all well on the Eucharist, on reverence. And I'm apologizing, because if we get this one thing right, everything else will change. But if we don't, then people drive past churches and they don't even know what's inside. They come to Mass and they don't know what they're receiving. Because no matter what, for you and I, as this Jesus who is the bread of life, no matter what, how bad my homily is, how bad the music is, wherever you go, as long as the words are said properly at the altar, you get to receive the God of the universe in Jesus in the Eucharist. The more valuable, and again, all the money in the world, all the diamonds, all the silver and gold. And what Jesus wants to do is, with our restless hearts, he wants to rest. He wants to find a place of rest. And that's why I encourage you not to receive the Lord like he's a potato chip. Don't just chew him right away. Let him rest on your tongue. The church always spoke about, it's always spoken about your tongue being an altar the Lord just wants to rest upon, and your tongue being a throne where the Lord wants to rest upon. So when we go back to our seats and we kneel and pray, we don't just, again, consume him like he's a potato chip, right? That's like taking all like a piece of gold and just put it in your pocket and walking away and not knowing like the value you just received. We're supposed to have communion, and again, not just with God, but with one another. So we spend time in silence, and Bishop is really big on us doing that. But why does he give us this? It says he gives us his flesh for the life of the world. That means we're called to bring the life that is given to us in the Holy Eucharist into the world, to everywhere we go. We did that meditation yesterday, and we're just going to do it again. Like, you have, I don't know, 5-6 hours left of your day. Like, are you going to be conscious of the Lord being with you, as conscious as the Ethiopian eunuch was? Like, he went, and it said he went rejoicing. He just didn't forget about this new relationship, this new baptism, this new life that he was given. And we're called to do that too. And it's just so interesting how easy it is to forget the gift that we're given. But if we know the value of the gift, like, we just hold on to that gift so much more tightly and so much more intimately, and we want to bring that life into everywhere we go. Because if this canvas has any spirit on it, it is the spirit of death. Look around. When Bishop was here, he said this campus, again, he wasn't speaking about you guys. He told me specifically, not you all. But he said, the people here look oppressed. They look aimless. They look lifeless. So what he asked me to do is bring the exorcism in. We had an exorcism here on campus just to get all the evil out. But then we have to bring life in. As we ask death to leave, we have to bring life in. But not just into our weeks, into our months, but just into the rest of the day. So we're going to take a moment of silence. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall upon us. Help us know the value of who we are receiving, not just what we are receiving, but who we are receiving the Eucharist. And please reveal to us our plans for the rest of the day. And please help us be conscious that God is with us. Body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. May he be with us in everything we do, and we become more and more aware of his presence in the Holy Eucharist. So we pause and we reflect upon the remainder of our day, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to remind us that Jesus is indeed with us in the Holy Eucharist everywhere we go.